This is Audible.
Bigger, Leaner, Stronger. The Simple Science of Building the Ultimate Male Body. Second Edition. Written by Michael Matthews. Narrated by Jeff Justice. Get my weekly newsletter and free goodies you're going to love. Sign up for my weekly newsletter and every Monday I'll send you awesome science-based health and fitness tips, delicious guilt-free recipes, thoughts that will keep you motivated, and more. Plus, you'll get a free 7-part email course that debunks the biggest health and fitness lies and 3 free ebooks of mine. Sign up here and get instant access. www.muscleforlife.com/sign-up. That's www.muscleforlife.com/sign-up. Praise for Bigger, Leaner, Stronger. Praise for Bigger, Leaner, Stronger. Most people you see in the gym make little or no progress despite tons of frustrating time and effort. There's way, way more to getting into the shape you dream of than just knowing how to train and eat properly. In this book, you will indeed find nutrition and exercise advice, but you'll also find out everything that the multi-billion dollar fitness industry doesn't know or doesn't want you to know. If you're ready to make fast gains now, then Bigger, Leaner, Stronger is for you. Ben Greenfield, New York Times best-selling author and founder of Ben Greenfield Fitness. Mike Matthews' book, Bigger, Leaner, Stronger, is a super well-researched and practical guide to strength training that quickly cuts through the massive amount of bullshit and misinformation put out by the strength training, bodybuilding, weight gain, and weight loss industries. I highly recommend adding this book to your library and referring to it frequently. Mark Divine, founder of Seal Fit and New York Times best-selling author of The Way of the Seal, Unbeatable Mind, and 8 Weeks to Seal Fit. Mike Matthews has killed it in the second edition of Bigger, Leaner, Stronger. He cuts to a depth most fitness writers rarely ever reach, and he explores the inner workings of the mind and willpower in incredible detail, outlining strategies to become successful, not only on your fitness journey, but any area of your life. The book is worth its weight in gold, and I can't recommend it enough. Greg O'Gallagher, founder of Kenobody Fitness Systems. When you read most fitness books, or books that are meant to be laid out in a series, you're left with a cliffhanger, something missing that leads you to want to buy what's next. Bigger, Leaner, Stronger gives you everything, a complete roadmap to your ideal body, with methods that not only make sense, but work and work fast. Mike's killing it, and for good reason. This book is awesome. You should read it and apply it immediately. Chad House, author and founder of Chad House Fitness. Mike always tells it like it is. While there's a ton of content to compliment on, my favorite part of Bigger, Leaner, Stronger is this line from Chapter 10. Become the master of your won'ts, wills, and wants, and you become the master of your destiny. I'm all about the success mindset, and I love how Mike makes the mental stuff so easy to digest and grasp. Without owning and controlling your mind, you'll never control your physique. J.C. Dean, author and founder of JCD Fitness. Mike's original Bigger, Leaner, Stronger book is an excellent practical guide for achieving a great physique. I am a fan. Mike gives away the keys to Lean City and Bigger, Leaner, Stronger. Armed with everything that you ever need to know about achieving the physique that up until this point you may have thought was impossible, it no longer becomes an issue of if you will look and feel fantastic, but when. Raj Law, founder of Raj Law Fitness. This second edition comes with an even more thorough and comprehensive action plan for getting healthy and fit that is still easy to read, absorb, and apply. The new content on self-control and willpower is especially insightful and will help you unlock and achieve your full potential. William Artimon, founder of Workout Labs. About the author. Common sense will not accomplish great things. Simply become insane and desperate. Lord Nyoshigi. I'm Mike. I believe that every person can achieve the body of his or her dreams, and I work hard to give everyone that chance by providing workable, proven advice grounded in science. I've been training for more than a decade now and have tried just about every type of workout program, diet regimen, and supplement you can imagine. While I don't know everything, I know what works and what doesn't. Like most guys, I had no clue what I was doing when I started out. I turned to magazines for help, which had me spending a couple of hours in the gym every day and wasting hundreds of dollars on worthless supplements each month, only to make mediocre gains. This went on for years, and I jumped from workout program to workout program. I tried all kinds of splits and routines, exercises, rep ranges, and other schemes. And while I made some progress during this time, it's impossible not to if you just keep at it. It was slow going and eventually put me in a rut. My weight remained stuck for over a year, and I wasn't building any strength to speak of. I had no idea what to do with my nutrition beyond eating clean and making sure I was getting a lot of protein. I turned to various trainers for guidance, but they had me do more of the same. I liked working out too much to quit, but I wasn't happy with my body, and I didn't know what I was doing wrong. Time to get smart. I finally decided that it was time to get educated, to throw the magazines away, get off the forums, and learn the actual physiology of muscle growth and fat loss, and figure out what it takes to build a big, lean, and strong body. I searched out the work of top strength and bodybuilding coaches, talked to scores of natural bodybuilders, and read hundreds of scientific papers, and a clear picture emerged. The real science of getting into incredible shape is very simple, much simpler than the health and fitness and supplement industries want us to believe. It flies in the face of almost all the crap that we hear on TV, read in magazines, and see in the gym. As a result of what I learned, I completely changed the way I trained and ate. And my body responded in ways I couldn't believe. My strength skyrocketed. My muscles were growing again for the first time in years. My energy levels went through the roof. The birth of my career. Along the way, my friends noticed the improvements in my physique and began asking for advice. I became their unofficial trainer. I took hard gainers and put 30 pounds on them in a year. I took people who were absolutely baffled as to why they couldn't lose weight, stripped 30 pounds of fat off them, and helped them build noticeable muscle at the same time. I took people in their 50s who believed their hormones were too bottomed out to accomplish anything with exercise and helped them turn back the clock 20 years in terms of body fat percentage and muscle definition. After doing this over and over for years, my clients, I never asked for money, I just had them come train with me, started urging me to write a book. I dismissed the idea at first, but it began to grow on me. What if I had such a book when I had started training, I thought. I would have saved an untold amount of money, time, and frustration, and I would have achieved my ideal physique years ago. I enjoyed helping people with what I had learned, and if I wrote books and they became popular, what if I could help thousands or even hundreds of thousands of people? That got me excited. I acted on the impulse, and the result was the first edition of Bigger, Leaner, Stronger, which was published in January 2012. Sales were slow at first, but within a month or two, I began receiving emails from readers with high praise. I was floored. I immediately started on my next book and outlined several more. I've now published 7 books, including this second edition, which have sold more than 200,000 copies. More importantly, every day I get scores of emails and social media messages from readers who are blown away by the results they're seeing. They're just as shocked as I was years ago when I learned just how simple building lean, healthy muscle and losing fat without ever feeling starved or miserable is. It's motivating to see the impact I'm having on people's lives, and I'm incredibly inspired by the dedication of my readers and followers. You guys and gals rock. Where to now? My true love is researching and writing, so I'll always be working on another book, my website, muscleforlife.com, and whatever other types of literary adventures come my way. My big evil master plan has 3 major targets. 1, help 1 million people get fit and healthy. Help a million people just has a sexy ring to it, don't you think? It's a big goal, but I think I can do it. And it goes beyond just helping people look good. I want to make a dent in alarmingly negative trends we're seeing in people's overall physical and mental health. 2, lead the fight against bro science and BS. Unfortunately, this industry is full of idiots, liars, and hucksters who prey on people's fears and insecurities, and I want to do something about it. In fact, I'd like to become known as the go-to guy for practical, easy-to-understand advice grounded in real science and results. 3, help reform the sports supplement industry. The dishonest pill and powder pushers are the people I despise the most in this space. The scams are numerous, using fancy-sounding but worthless ingredients, cutting products with junk fillers like maltodextrin, and even stuff like flour and sawdust. Yes, this happens. Using bogus science and ridiculous marketing claims to sell, underdosing the important ingredients, and covering it up with the label proprietary blend. Sponsoring steroid-fueled athletes so they pretend supplements are the secret to their gains, and more. I hope you enjoy this book, and I'm positive that if you apply what you're about to learn, you too can dramatically transform your physique without hating your diet or beating yourself to death in the gym every day. So, are you ready? Great. Let's get to it. The promise. No matter how bad you might think your genetics are, and no matter how lost you might feel after trying and abandoning many types of workouts, you absolutely, positively can have the lean, ripped body that you dream about. What if I could show you how to dramatically transform your body faster than you ever thought possible? What if I gave you the exact formula of exercise and eating that makes putting on 5 to 10 pounds of quality lean mass a breeze, and it would only take 8 to 12 weeks? What if I showed you how to get a lean cut physique that you love and that women drool over by investing no more than 5% of your time each day? What if I told you that you can achieve that Hollywood hunk body without having your life revolve around it? No long hours in the gym, no starving yourself, and no grueling cardio that turns your stomach. I'll even show you how to get shredded while still indulging in the cheat foods that you love every week, like pasta, pizza, and ice cream. And what if I promised to be at your side the entire way, helping you avoid the scams, pitfalls, and problems that most guys fall into, helping you systematically achieve your true genetic potential, and basically doing everything I can to see you achieve the best body you've ever had? Imagine if you got up every morning, looked in the mirror, and couldn't help but smile at your reflection. Imagine the boost in confidence you'd feel if you didn't have that belly fat anymore. Or if you were no longer that skinny guy, but instead had six-pack abs and were that ripped guy. Imagine just 12 weeks from now being constantly complimented on how you look and asked what the heck you're doing to make such startling gains. Imagine enjoying the added benefits of having higher energy levels, better spirits, and fewer aches and pains, and of knowing that you're getting healthier every day. Well, you can have all of these things, and it's not nearly as complicated as the fitness industry wants you to believe. It doesn't matter whether you're 21 or 61, or whether you're in shape or completely not. No matter who you are, I promise that you can change your body into whatever you desire. So, would you like my help? If you answered yes, then you've taken a leap, not a step, towards your goals to become a leaner, more muscular you. Your journey to the ultimate male body begins as soon as you start the next chapter. Introduction: Why Bigger, Leaner, Stronger is Different. All truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. Third, it is accepted as being self-evident. Arthur Schopenhauer. I'm going to tell you something that the kings of the multi-billion dollar health and fitness industry don't want you to know. You don't need any of their crap to get ripped and to look better than you ever have before. You don't need to spend hundreds of dollars per month on the worthless supplements that steroid freaks shill in advertisements. You don't need to constantly change up your exercise routines to confuse your muscles. I'm pretty sure that muscles lack cognitive abilities, so this approach is a good way to just confuse yourself instead. You don't need to burn through buckets of protein powder every month, stuffing down enough protein each day to feed a third world village. You don't need to toil away in the gym for a couple of hours per day doing tons of sets, supersets, drop sets, giant sets, etc. As a matter of fact, this is a great way to stunt your gains and get nowhere. You don't need to grind out hours and hours of boring cardio every week to shed ugly belly fat and love handles and get a shredded six-pack. How many flabby treadmillers have you come across over the years? You don't need to completely abstain from cheat foods while getting down to single-digit body fat percentages. To the contrary, if you cheat correctly, you can accelerate fat loss. These are just a small sampling of the harmful fallacies that many people believe, and they will bury you in a rut of frustration with no real result, which will inevitably lead to quitting. That was my motivation for creating Bigger, Leaner, Stronger. For many years now, I've had friends, family, acquaintances, and co-workers approach me for fitness advice, and they were almost always convinced of many strange, unnecessary, or unworkable ideas about diet and exercise. By educating them in the same way as I'm about to educate you, I've helped many people melt away fat, build lean, attractive muscle, and not only look great, but feel great too. And while helping friends, friends of friends, and family is fulfilling, I wanted to be able to help thousands, or tens, or even hundreds of thousands. Thus, Bigger, Leaner, Stronger was born. Now, where did the many fitness and nutrition myths come from? Well, I don't want to waste your time with the boring details, but the long story short is this. When people are motivated to solve a problem and are willing to spend large amounts of money to do it, there will never be a scarcity of stuff for them to buy, and there will always be scores of brilliant marketers inventing new schemes to keep people spending. It's pretty simple. All we have to do is look to the sources that most people turn to for their training and nutritional advice. Almost everyone gets it from one or more of these three sources: magazines, personal trainers, or friends. And most of what you'll learn from them is basically useless. How can I make such bold claims, you wonder? Well, let's talk about bodybuilding magazines for a minute. Last time I looked, close to a dozen of these magazines were waiting on the shelves of Barnes & Noble featuring bodybuilders ready to lure in victims like juiced-up Venus flytraps. The bottom line is this: every time you buy one of the big bodybuilding magazines, you're paying to be lied to. Here's a fun fact that you probably didn't know. The majority of mainstream bodybuilding magazines are little more than mouthpieces for supplement companies that either own them outright or control them financially by buying all the ad space. In almost all cases, the primary goal of these magazines is to sell supplements, and they work damn well. The magazines push products in various ways. They have pretty advertisements all over the place. They regularly run advertorials, advertisements disguised as informative articles. And they balance the myriad sales pitches with some actual articles that provide workout and nutrition advice, which also in many cases end with product recommendations of one kind or another. So this is the first blow that magazines deal to you. They give you a lot of advice that is geared first and foremost to selling you products, not helping you achieve your goals. But wait, you might be thinking, don't supplements help me reach my goals? Well, we'll be talking all about supplements later, but here's all you need to know right now. Most supplements are a complete waste of money and will do absolutely nothing to help you build muscle or strength and get lean. Don't believe for a second that these pills and powders did anything special for the shredded bodybuilders and fitness models hawking them. If you knew the sheer amount of drugs many of these guys are on, your head would spin. These guys' bodies are basically chemistry experiments. So, the supplement companies know that if they can just keep getting these magazines into people's hands, they will keep selling products, and all will be right in the world. How can they ensure that you will keep buying? By coming up with a never-ending flow of new advice, of course. You know, new training methodologies, diet tricks, supplement research, of course, and the like. And this is the second, probably more harmful blow dealt by the magazines. They inundate you with all kinds of false ideas about what it takes to get into great shape. If they told the simple truth every month, they would have maybe 20 articles or so that they could reprint over and over. There isn't that much to getting strong, fit, and healthy. Instead, they get quite creative with selling you on all kinds of workout routines, diet regimens, and hacks, and, of course, supplement recommendations. And while letting magazines guide your training and diet is better than just sitting on the couch eating pork rinds, it won't get you to your ultimate goal. So that's the story of the magazines. Let's now move on to an unfortunate truth about personal trainers. Most of them are just a waste of money. End of story. Their hearts can be in the right place, but the truth is that most trainers just don't have the drive or know-how to get their clients into great shape. Their poor people are paying between $50 and $75 per hour to do the same type of silly, ineffective workout routines found in the magazines, usually with poor form to boot, and they often see no real results for their efforts. You've probably also noticed that many trainers aren't even in good shape themselves. How can you honestly sell yourself as a fitness expert when you're a skinny, fat weakling? Who could possibly believe you? Well, for some reason, these types of trainers get business all the time, and their clients almost always stay flabby and out of shape too. Compounding the disservice is the fact that most trainers don't give their clients proper diet plans, which is basically the kiss of death and guarantees no results. The fact is, how you look is just as much a reflection of how you eat as how you train. Fat, skinny, ripped, whatever. Your diet determines this just as much as your workouts. Eat wrong, and you will stay fat no matter how much cardio you do. Eat wrong, and you will stay skinny and weak no matter how much you struggle with weights. Eat right, however, and you can unlock the maximum potential gains from working out. Rapid, long-term fat loss and muscle growth that will turn heads and get your friends and family talking. Chances are this isn't news to you. We've all heard the importance of proper dieting. Well, if you're dreading the diet talk, rest easy. I have good news for you. Eating correctly does not mean dramatically restricting your food intake or cutting out everything that tastes good. As you'll soon learn, you can actually enjoy dieting. Yes, you heard that right. You can eat plenty of carbs every day. You should never feel starved. Your energy levels will remain high. Eating correctly means nothing more than following simple, flexible, nutritional targets that allow you to eat foods you like while building muscle and losing fat. But we'll dive into that later. Let's get back to trainers. You might be wondering why these trainers know so little as certified professionals. Well, passing a PT certification test does not require you to be a fitness expert with proven results. You just have to memorize and regurgitate some basic information about nutrition, anatomy, and exercise. You can even do it all online, where answers are just a Google search away. Another problem with trainers is a simple dilemma they have to face every day. They have to keep their clients convinced that they're needed so they keep paying. While some people are happy to pay a trainer just to force them to show up every day, most want to feel like they're getting more for their money. And the easiest way to give them this experience is to regularly change up routines and talk about sophisticated diet and workout principles. The bottom line is that when all is said and done, most personal training clients waste thousands of dollars to make poor gains and quit out of disappointment. It's not all gloom and doom, though. There absolutely are great trainers out there who are in awesome shape themselves, who do know how to quickly and effectively get results in others, and who do care about their clients. If you're one of them and you're listening to this book, I applaud you because you're carrying the weight of the entire profession on your shoulders. So, the title of this chapter is Why Bigger, Leaner, Stronger is Different. How so? Well, I don't know about you, but I don't train to have fun or hang out with the guys. I train to look and feel better, and I want to get the most from my efforts. If I can get better results by working out half as long as the other guy, that's what I want to do. If I were new to weightlifting and my options were to gain 10 pounds in a couple of months by doing the same exercises every week, done with correct form, intensity, and weight progression, or to squeeze out half of those gains by doing the latest fancy, overhyped muscle confusion routine, I'd choose the former. Bigger, Leaner, Stronger is all about training and getting results. It gives you a precise training and eating regimen that delivers maximum gains in the least time. The diet and training principles are nothing new or sophisticated, but you've probably never put them all together like how I'm going to teach you. There's nothing cutting edge or complicated about how to eat and train correctly, but most people have it all wrong. With Bigger, Leaner, Stronger, you can gain 10 to 15 pounds in your first 3 months of lifting weights. That's a pretty drastic change. People are going to start asking you for workout advice. Even if you're not new to lifting, you can gain somewhere between half a pound to a pound per week every week until you're happy with your size. If your goal is to simply lose fat, I'm going to show you how to lose between 1 and 2 pounds of fat per week like clockwork, without starving yourself, without having to completely abstain from foods, and without gaining it all back after the suffering has ended. So, are you ready? Here's the first step. Forget what you think you know about getting fit. I know it might sound a little harsh, but trust me, it's for your own good. Just let it all go, approaching Bigger, Leaner, Stronger with an open mind. Along the way, you'll find that certain things you believed or did were right, while others were wrong, and that's okay. As I said earlier, I've made every mistake you can possibly make, so you're in good company. Just follow the program exactly as I lay it out, and then let the results speak for themselves. So let's get started. Section 1. Fundamentals. Chapter 1. The Hidden Barrier to Achieving Your Health and Fitness Goals. The beginning of wisdom is the definition of terms. Socrates. You may have wondered why so many people are utterly confused about the subjects of health and fitness. Ask around one day, and you'll hear all kinds of conflicting, illogical advice and opinions. Counting calories doesn't work. Broccoli has more protein than chicken. Any carbs you eat at night will automatically turn into body fat. If you eat dietary fat, you'll get fat. If you eat good dietary fat, you won't. You have to eat a lot of small meals every day to lose weight. This is a very small sampling of the many, many false ideas I've heard in my travels. So how does this happen? Why are people so susceptible to false information, lies, and weird claims? While that question might sound like it has a deep philosophical answer, it's pretty simple. The next time you hear people saying that counting calories isn't necessary or doesn't work, ask them this simple question. What is a calorie? One for one, they'll just stand there with a confused look on their face. Or maybe they'll stammer out a strange definition. They don't have a clue what the word means. And that's only the beginning, of course. What is a carbohydrate? What is protein? What is fat? What is muscle? What is a hormone? What is a vitamin? What is an amino acid? Few people can answer these questions simply and definitively, so of course they'll believe nearly anything they're told. How can you gain a full and proper understanding of a subject when you don't understand the basic words used to explain it? This goes all the way back to Socrates, who said that the beginning of wisdom is the definition of terms. That's why words are the biggest hidden barrier to understanding that almost everyone completely overlooks. Simply put, if you have misunderstandings about the words being used to communicate specific concepts, a proper duplication of those concepts will not occur in your mind. You will reach your own distorted conclusions due to misinterpretation. If I were to tell you the children have to leave at crepuscule, you might wonder what I'm talking about. Well, crepuscule simply means the time of the day when the sun is just below the horizon, especially the period between sunset and dark. The sentence now makes sense, doesn't it? In school, many of us were taught to simply guess at the meanings of words by looking at the surrounding context or by comparing them to other words in our vocabularies. This is, of course, an unreliable method of study because the person writing the text had specific concepts to communicate and chose exact words to do so based on, we hope, generally accepted understandings that you would find in a dictionary. If you want to receive the information in the same light, then you must share the same understanding of the words used to convey it, not come to subjective understandings based on what you think the words might mean. With crepuscule in the example above, context only reveals that the word must be a time of day, which isn't enough information to guess the meaning of the word. Then you're left with looking at the word itself, maybe thinking, well, crepuscule looks like crepes, which are often eaten in the morning, so I guess it means after breakfast? That's why the first part of Bigger, Leaner, Stronger is going to be unique. I'm going to share with you the proper definitions of the key words of the subject matter. These are basic words that I will use throughout the book and that you must understand properly to have everything click in the way it should. I know that reading the definitions of words is dry and unsexy, but trust me, it will help a lot. It's the only way you can be sure that we're on the same page and that you're understanding things the way I mean you to. I took care in putting together these keyword lists to build your understanding from the simple to the more complex, and I think you'll find the learning curve mild. I'm sure you will breeze right through it and have quite a few light bulbs turn on. By the end of the next few chapters of this book, you'll know more about health, nutrition, and fitness than most. It's that bad out there. Not only that, but you'll also protect yourself against the downright scary amount of false information floating around. Just by knowing the proper meanings of many of the words used, you can make fairly good snap judgments on the validity of many opinions or ideas presented. So let's get started with the first list of keywords. Chapter 2. What Most People Don't Know About Health, Nutrition, and Fitness. Part 1. Physiology 101. Being ignorant is not so much a shame as being unwilling to learn. Benjamin Franklin. Energy. 1. Energy is the power received from electricity, fuel, food, and other sources to do work or produce motion. 2. Energy is the physical or mental strength of a person that can be directed towards some activity. Matter. Matter is any material in the universe that has mass and size. Chemistry. Chemistry is the branch of science that deals with the identification of the substances that matter is composed of, the study of their characteristics, and the ways that they interact, combine, and change. Chemical. 1. Chemical means having to do with chemistry or the way that substances are made up and the reactions and changes they go through. 2. A chemical is any substance that can undergo a chemical process or change. When people refer to chemicals, they're usually talking about man-made substances, but the definition isn't limited to just this meaning. Organism. An organism is a single living thing, such as a person, animal, or plant. Cell. A cell is the basic unit of all living organisms. Some living organisms exist only as a single cell. An average-sized man consists of 60 to 100 trillion cells. Cells keep themselves alive, produce energy, exchange information with neighboring cells, multiply and die eventually when their time has come. Tissue. Tissue is body material in animals and plants that consists of large numbers of cells that are similar in form and function. Muscle. Muscles are masses of tissue in the body, often attached to bones, that can tighten and relax to produce movement. Skeletal muscle. A skeletal muscle is connected to the skeleton to form part of the mechanical system that moves the limbs and other parts of the body. Fat. 1. Fat is a natural, oily, or greasy substance found in animal bodies, especially when deposited as a layer under the skin or around certain organs. 2. Fat is a substance of this type made from animal or plant products that is used in cooking. Saturated fat. Saturated fat is a form of fat found in animal fat products, such as cream, cheese, butter, lard, and fatty meats, as well as in certain vegetable products, such as coconut oil, cottonseed oil, palm kernel oil, and chocolate. Saturated fat is solid at room temperature. While it has long been believed that eating foods high in saturated fat increases the risk of cardiovascular disease, more recent research has shown this to be untrue. Unsaturated fat. Unsaturated fat is a form of fat found in foods like avocado, nuts, and vegetable oils, such as canola and olive oils. Meat products contain both saturated and unsaturated fats. Unsaturated fat is liquid at room temperature. Trans fat. Trans fats are unsaturated fats that are uncommon in nature and created artificially. This type of fat is found in processed foods like cereals, baked goods, fast food, ice cream, and frozen dinners. Anything that contains partially hydrogenated oil contains trans fat. Nutritional authorities, including the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the European Food Safety Authority, and the U.K. Scientific Advisory Committee on Nutrition, consider trans fats harmful to our health and recommend reducing the consumption of trans fats to trace amounts. Organ. An organ is made of a group of two or more types of tissue that work together to achieve a specific function in an organism. While your heart and lungs are organs, skeletal muscle is not an organ because a muscle is just one type of tissue. Gram. A gram is a unit of weight in the metric system. 1 pound is about 454 grams. Kilogram. A kilogram is equal to 1,000 grams, or 2.2 pounds. Milligram. A milligram is 1,000th of a gram. Celsius. Celsius is a scale of temperature on which water freezes at 0 degrees and boils at 100 degrees. In the Fahrenheit scale used in the United States, water freezes at 32 degrees and boils at 212 degrees. Calorie. A calorie is a measurement unit of energy potential. When we talk about the heat output of an organism or the energy value of food, calorie refers to the energy required to raise the temperature of 1 kilogram of water by 1 degree Celsius. This is also known as kilocalorie or large calorie. Nutrient. A nutrient is a substance that gives a living body something that it needs to live and grow. Food. Food is material taken into the body to provide it with the nutrients it needs for energy and growth. Food is essentially fuel for the body. Element. An element, also called a chemical element, is a substance that cannot be broken down into smaller parts by a chemical reaction. There are more than 100 elements, and they are the primary building blocks of matter. Compound. A compound is a substance made up of two or more different elements. Molecule. A molecule is the smallest particle of any compound that still exists as that substance. If you were to break it down any further, it would separate into the elements that make it up, meaning it would no longer exist as that original substance. Acid. An acid is a chemical compound that usually eats away at materials and often tastes sour. Protein. Proteins are naturally occurring compounds that are used for growth and repair in the body and to build cells and tissues. Amino acid. Amino acids are small units of material that are used to build protein. Gas. A gas is a substance that is an air-like form, not solid or liquid. Carbon. Carbon is a common non-metallic chemical element found in much of the matter on Earth and in all life. Oxygen. Oxygen is a colorless, odorless gas and is necessary for most living things to survive. Hydrogen. Hydrogen is a colorless, odorless, flammable gas. It is the simplest and most abundant chemical element in the universe. Carbohydrate. A carbohydrate is a molecule composed of carbon, oxygen, and hydrogen and serves as a source of energy for animals. Digestion. Digestion is the process of breaking down food so that the body can absorb and use it. Enzyme. An enzyme is a substance produced by organisms that causes specific chemical reactions. Metabolism. Metabolism is the term for the series of processes that break down molecules from food to release energy, which is then used to fuel the cells in the body and to create more complex molecules used for building new cells. Metabolism is necessary for life, and it is how the body creates and maintains the cells that make it up. Anabolism. Anabolism is a metabolic process in which energy is used to make more complex substances, such as tissue, from simpler ones. This is also known as constructive metabolism. Catabolism. Catabolism is the production of energy through the breakdown of complex molecules, such as muscle or fat, into simpler ones. This is also known as destructive metabolism. Okay, that's it for the first keyword list. Simple enough, right? Take a few minutes to review anything that didn't quite make sense, as the next list is going to build on your understanding of the previously mentioned terms. Chapter 3. What most people don't know about health, nutrition, and fitness. Part 2. Nutrition. There is one remarkable circumstance in our own history which seems to have escaped observation. The mischievous effect of the indefinite application of terms. Noah Webster. Healthy. Healthy means that the body is in a good physical condition, meaning it has good strength, has high energy levels, and is free from illness or damage. Nourish. To nourish is to provide something with the substances needed to grow, live, and be healthy. Nutrient. A nutrient is a substance that provides the nourishment essential for life and growth. Nutrition. Nutrition is the process of getting nourishment, especially the process of getting food and nutrients and using them to stay healthy, grow, and build and replace tissues. Macronutrient. A macronutrient is any of the nutritional components of the diet required in relatively large amounts. Specifically, these are protein, carbohydrate, fat, and minerals, such as calcium, zinc, iron, magnesium, and phosphorus. Diet. 1. A diet is the food and drink that a person usually consumes. 2. A diet is a special course of controlled or restricted intake of food or drink for a particular purpose, such as losing weight, supporting exercise, or medical maintenance. Sugar. Sugar is a class of sweet-tasting carbohydrates that comes from various plants, fruits, grains, and other sources. Glucose. Glucose is a sugar that is an important energy source in living things. Carbohydrates are broken down in the body into glucose, which is the main source of fuel for all cells. It doesn't matter whether you eat lettuce or candy, both end up as glucose in the body. The only difference is that the lettuce takes a lot longer to break down into glucose than the sugary candy. Fructose. Fructose is a sugar found in many plant sources like honey, fruits, flowers, and root vegetables. Sucrose. Sucrose is the kind of sugar most commonly called table sugar and consists of glucose and fructose. Sucrose can come from natural sources such as fruit, but it can be made artificially as well. Glycogen. Glycogen is a substance found in bodily tissues that acts as a store of carbohydrate. The body stores glucose in the liver and muscles in the form of glycogen, which can be broken back down into glucose when energy is needed. Blood sugar. Your blood sugar level is the amount of glucose in your blood. Glucose is carried in the blood and delivered to cells so that it can be broken down and the energy can be used or stored. Simple carbohydrate. A simple carbohydrate is a form of carbohydrate that usually tastes sweet and that the body can break down quickly into glucose. Examples of simple carbohydrates are the fructose found in fruit, the lactose found in dairy, and the sucrose added to many foods for sweetness. Complex carbohydrate. A complex carbohydrate is a carbohydrate made up of a chain of simple carbohydrates linked together. Because of this structure, it takes the body longer to break it down into glucose. Examples of complex carbohydrates are the sugars found in whole grains, beans, and vegetables. Starch. Starch is a complex carbohydrate found naturally in many fruits and vegetables, and it is sometimes added to other foods to thicken them. Although starch is a complex carbohydrate, some particular foods high in starch break down into glucose quickly, like a simple carbohydrate would. Hormone. A hormone is a chemical made in the body that gets transported by the blood or other bodily fluids to cells and organs to cause some action, or to have a specific effect. Insulin. Insulin is a hormone made in the pancreas that is released into the blood when you eat food. It causes muscles, organs, and fat tissue to take up the nutrients from the food, which are also released into the blood, and either use them or store them as body fat. Index. An index is a system of listing information in an order that allows one to compare it easily to other information. Glycemic index. The glycemic index, GI, is a scale that measures the effects of different carbohydrates on one's blood sugar level. Carbohydrates that break down and release glucose into the blood slowly, complex carbs, are low on the glycemic index. Carbohydrates that break down and release glucose into the blood quickly, simple carbs, are high on the index. Below 55 on the GI is considered low, and above 70 is considered high. Pure glucose is 100 on the GI. Grain. Grains are seeds of different kinds of grasses and are used in many kinds of food. Wheat. Wheat is a plant that produces grain. White bread. White bread is bread made from wheat flour that has had parts of the grains removed and has been bleached so it bakes easily and lasts longer. The process of making white bread removes or kills most of the nutrients from grains, turning the bread into a simpler carbohydrate. Whole grain. Foods containing grains that have not had parts removed are called whole grain foods. Fiber. Fiber is a type of carbohydrate found in many types of foods, including fruits, vegetables, legumes, and grains. Fatty acids. Fatty acids are the molecules that make up fat cells. Some fatty acids are needed to build parts of cells and tissues in the body. Fatty acids contain twice as many calories per gram as carbohydrates and proteins, and are mainly used to store energy in fat cells. Essential fatty acids. Some fatty acids are called essential fatty acids because they are vital for proper bodily function and must be obtained from food. The body can't synthesize them. Humans have two essential fatty acids, alpha-linolenic acid and linoleic acid. That's it for list number two. I hope you're finding them helpful and enlightening. I know I did when I first learned all of these words. Let's wrap up with one final keyword list and move on to the fun stuff. Chapter 4. What Most People Don't Know About Health, Nutrition, and Fitness. Part 3. General Health. Education is the passport to the future, for tomorrow belongs to those who prepare for it today. Malcolm X. Supplement. A supplement is a substance added to something to fill a deficiency or to make something more functional or complete. Dietary supplement. A dietary or nutritional supplement is a product taken to provide the body with nutrients that are not obtained in a large enough quantity in the diet. Vitamin. A vitamin is a substance that living organisms need for their cells to function, grow, and develop correctly. The essential vitamins required by the human body must be obtained from the diet, as the body cannot synthesize them in adequate amounts. Mineral. A mineral is a substance that contains no carbon, whereas vitamins do, and that forms naturally in the earth. Your body needs minerals for many different physiological functions, including building bones, making hormones, and regulating your heartbeat. Dehydration. The human body is 75% water. Water is lost by sweating, urination, and breathing, and you need to replace it every day. Dehydration is the state in which the body has replaced too little water for it to properly function. This has various negative side effects like headaches, tiredness, weakness, and in extreme cases, even death. Nerve. A nerve is a bundle of tissues in the body that carries electrical messages between the brain, spinal cord, organs, and muscles. These messages give sensations and cause muscles and organs to operate. Nerves are the communication lines of the body. Processed. To process food means to use chemicals or machines to change or preserve it. Many methods of processing food destroy some or most of the vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients that it naturally contains, and often involves the addition of chemicals that can be harmful to the body. Heavily processed foods often have fewer nutrients but more calories than their less processed counterparts. Organic. Organic food is free of artificial food additives and often has been raised and made with fewer artificial methods, materials, and conditions, such as chemical ripening, food irradiation, and genetically modified ingredients. Pesticides are allowed as long as they aren't synthetic. To be certified organic, food products must be grown and manufactured in a manner that adheres to standards set by the governments of the countries they are sold in. All natural. All natural foods are often assumed to be foods that are minimally processed or that do not contain any food additives such as hormones, antibiotics, sweeteners, food colors, or flavorings. That said, while the all-natural label implies minimal processing and additives, the lack of standards and regulation means that it is essentially meaningless. Cholesterol. Cholesterol is a soft, waxy substance found in most body tissues, including the blood and nerves. Cholesterol is necessary for survival and is used in building the cells and vital hormones in the body, as well as for other important functions. Too much cholesterol in the blood, however, increases the risk of heart attack, stroke, and other disease. Your body makes some of the cholesterol it needs, and the rest comes from animal products you consume, such as meat, fish, eggs, butter, cheese, and whole milk. Cholesterol is not found in foods made from plants. Body Mass Index, BMI. The BMI is a scale used for estimating how much people should weigh depending on their height. The BMI is meant to give a snapshot of the health of large groups of people or whole populations, but when it's used to evaluate an individual, it's often inaccurate because of different body types, like having a thin frame, having a lot of muscle tissue, or being very tall. Body Fat Percentage. Your body fat percentage is a measurement of the fat you have in your body expressed as a percentage of your total body weight. For example, if your body fat percentage is 10%, that means that 10% of your weight is body fat. This is a more precise measurement of fat than the BMI, as it directly measures the person's fat no matter what the person's body type is or how much weight and muscle that person has, factors that are not taken into account with the BMI. The amount of fat your body needs to accomplish basic body functions for living is about 3 to 5% body fat in men and 8 to 12% in women. Body composition. Body composition is used to describe the percentages of fat, bone, water, and muscle in human bodies. As you'll learn in this book, weight and BMI aren't nearly as important in gauging our progress as body composition. Our goal isn't to reach a certain number on the scale or a particular BMI reading. It's to achieve a certain type of look, and that boils down to a certain amount of muscle with a low body fat percentage or a certain type of body composition. That's it for the key words. Now you know all the basic terminology that will enable you to understand and apply the rest of the information you're going to learn in this book. Let's carry on. Chapter 5, The 7 Biggest Muscle-Building Myths and Mistakes. Just remember, somewhere a little Chinese girl is warming up with your max. Jim Conroy. 9 out of 10 people you see in the gym don't train correctly. I know that sounds a bit harsh, but it's true, and you'll soon see why. In many cases, I wouldn't even bother getting out of bed in the morning to do their training routines, which are of the magazine variety. Lots and lots of sets of isolation exercises with relatively light weights. Even if they're working hard in their training, really pushing themselves to get more and more reps, they're still doing it wrong and will only wind up disappointed in the results. I should know because I was once one of those guys too. Most people also compound their training mistakes by eating incorrectly. They're usually eating too much or too little, eating too many low-quality foods, and failing to balance their macronutrients correctly. Proper dieting is much simpler than most people think. It's just a numbers game, and it's not just calories in versus calories out. That's the foundation, but we need to go a bit deeper to maximize muscle growth and fat loss. All of these mistakes are why so many people bust their butts only to fail to make any noticeable progress. Case in point, Most of the crowd in my gym basically haven't changed one bit in the last couple of years that I've been there. They're still lifting more or less the same weights and look more or less exactly the same as they did when I arrived. Well, in this chapter, we're going to look at why. Specifically, we're going to go over the 7 most common diet and training myths and mistakes that keep people from effectively building muscle and losing fat. Unless you're brand new to lifting, I can guarantee that you've fallen victim to one or more of these myths and mistakes at some point along the way. I know I did. Let's get to it. Myth and mistake number 1. More sets equals more growth. I used to lift weights for 2 or more hours per day to the point of complete physical and mental exhaustion. Afterward, all I wanted to do is eat and pass out. I didn't particularly like how tough the routine was, but I used to think this is what it took to build a great physique, so I did it for years. And I wasn't nearly as ripped as you would have expected given the intensity of my training. Well, what I later learned is that this type of routine is complete overkill for a natural weightlifter. The guy who originally turned me on to this type of training, it turns out, was on quite a few anabolic drugs. I've learned that doing too many sets and reps for any muscle group per week can lead to overtraining, which has a host of negative side effects: impaired muscle growth, general fatigue, lower levels of anabolic hormones, higher levels of catabolic hormones, and in extreme cases, even muscle loss. Yes, that's right, too much weightlifting every day can cause so much more damage to your muscle fibers than your body can efficiently repair, that you actually get smaller and weaker over time. This is one of the first things about the Bigger, Leaner, Stronger program that is going to surprise you. The workouts are going to call for a lot fewer sets and reps than you're probably expecting. There are no supersets, drop sets, giant sets, or any of the fancy rep schemes typically recommended in other routines. Instead, you're going to do what most popular mainstream weightlifting programs never prescribe. You're going to focus on heavy compound weightlifting, and you're going to do just enough sets and reps in your workouts to maximize muscle overload and stimulation without going so far as overtraining. This takes no more than 45 to 60 minutes per workout. Yep, you'll be in and out of the gym in an hour on this program. Make no mistake, the workouts won't be easy. You're going to push, pull, and squat more weight than you ever have before, and this requires tremendous physical energy and effort. Nevertheless, if you're currently following one of the many high-rep training programs out there, you're probably going to feel like you're under-training on my program. You're not going to be used to the longer rest periods in between sets and shorter workouts, and you might even feel a bit guilty leaving the gym after less than an hour. Don't worry, I know exactly how this feels. When I first switched from my old overtraining style to what I teach in this book, I was sure I was going to get weaker and lose muscle. I didn't, though. Since I made the switch, I've gained close to 20 pounds of muscle and more than doubled the weight I can lift across the board. Follow the program, and you can do the same. Myth and mistake number 2. You have to feel the burn to grow. How many times have you heard training partners yelling for each other to make it burn and squeeze out 3 more reps? Well, everyone knows that pumping out reps until the stinging pain is unbearable causes maximum growth, right? No pain, no gain, right? Wrong. This is probably one of the worst muscle-building fallacies out there. Muscle burn and pump are not paramount in achieving muscle growth. When your muscles are burning, what you're feeling is a buildup of lactic acid, which continues to accumulate as you contract your muscles again and again. While lactic acid triggers what's known as the anabolic cascade, which is a cocktail of growth-inducing hormones, repeatedly elevating lactic acid levels higher and higher doesn't mean you build more and more muscle over time. Thus, for yet another reason, when guys spend a couple of hours in the gym pounding away with drop sets, burnout sets, supersets, and so forth, they're working very hard for little payoff. If pump and burn don't drive muscle growth, what does? Well, the short answer is progressive overload, which we'll go over in more detail soon. Myth and mistake number 3. Wasting time with the wrong exercises. Most of what your gym offers in terms of workout machines and contraptions has no place in a proper weightlifting routine. As the well-known strength coach and author Mark Ripito says, if you want to be strong, ditch the machines and pick up a barbell. As you'll see, that's what Bigger Leaner Stronger is all about, pushing, pulling, raising, and squatting barbells and dumbbells. There are studies out there comparing machines and free weights that are often used to disagree with this approach. If you took these studies at face value, you could easily conclude that machines are equally effective as free weights for building muscle and strength, and possibly even better. The people who do this are missing a couple of crucial pieces of information. The subjects in these studies are untrained, and the results seen in untrained subjects simply can't be directly extrapolated to trained subjects. Newbie gains are very real and boil down to the simple fact that your muscles respond exceptionally well to just about any type of training for the first 3 to 6 months. Simply put, you can make all kinds of mistakes in the beginning and still make better than average progress. This doesn't last long, though. Once the magic runs out, it's gone forever, and what worked for the first few months won't necessarily continue to work. This is especially true in resistance training. While an untrained subject can make mediocre strength and muscle gains on machines for the first few months, there's no way in hell he can build an impressive physique by primarily working on machines. There is research that proves the opposite. Free weights are indeed more effective at building muscle and strength than machines. A good example is a study conducted by researchers from the University of Saskatchewan, which demonstrated that the free weight squat resulted in 43% more leg muscle activation than the Smith machine squat. Another example is a study conducted by researchers from the University of California that demonstrated that the free weight bench press resulted in greater activation of the upper body muscles than the Smith machine bench press. These things shouldn't come as a surprise. For decades, the most impressive bodybuilders have always emphasized free weight training, and I'll bet that the biggest, strongest guys in your gym do the same. The bottom line is that there's just something special about forcing the body to freely manipulate weight, unaided, against the pull of gravity. Nobody ever built a great chest by just pounding away on the pec deck and machine press. It always took years of pushing around barbells and dumbbells. Not all free weight exercises are equal, though. The most effective ones are known as compound exercises, and they involve and activate multiple muscle groups. Examples of powerful compound exercises are the squat, deadlift, and bench press, which train a lot more than just the legs, back, and chest, respectively. The opposite of a compound exercise is an isolation exercise, which primarily involves and activates just one muscle group. Examples of isolation exercises are the cable fly, which isolates the chest muscles, dumbbell curl, which isolates the biceps, and leg extension, which isolates the quadriceps. When it comes to building size and strength, numerous scientific studies have confirmed the superiority of compound exercises over isolation exercises. One such study was conducted at Ball State University in 2000, and it went like this. Two groups of men trained with weights for 10 weeks. The first group did 4 compound upper body exercises, while the second group did the same plus bicep curls and triceps extensions, isolation exercises. After the training period, both groups increased strength and size, but which do you think had bigger arms? The answer is neither. The additional isolation training performed by group 2 produced no additional effect on arm strength or circumference. The takeaway isn't that you shouldn't directly train your arms, but rather that by overloading your entire body, you cause everything to grow. Charles Poliquin, trainer to world-class athletes like Olympians and professional sports players, is fond of saying that to gain an inch on your arms, you have to gain 10 pounds of muscle. His point is that the most effective way to build a big, strong body is with systemic overload, not localized training. If your weightlifting program isn't built around heavy, compound training, you're never going to achieve your genetic potential in terms of overall muscle size and strength. Now, I'm not saying that all isolation exercises are worthless. Certain isolation exercises, if properly incorporated into a routine, do help with overall development. In fact, they're necessary for fully developing smaller muscles in the body like the shoulders, biceps, and triceps. So you will find a few isolation exercises in my program, but they are hardly the emphasis. Myth and mistake number 4, constantly changing up your routine. Guys who make the mistake of doing lots of ineffective exercises often believe the muscle confusion myth, which is the belief that you have to constantly change up your routine to keep your body guessing and make gains. This is complete nonsense. You're in the gym to get bigger and stronger, and that requires 4 simple things. Do the right exercises, lift progressively heavier weights over time, eat correctly, and give your body sufficient rest. Regularly changing exercises simply isn't necessary because your goals limit the exercises that you should be doing. You see, if you're looking to build a solid foundation of muscle and strength, you should do the same types of exercises every week, and they will include things like squats, deadlifts, bench presses, dumbbell presses, military presses, and others. If you do these exercises correctly every week, your strength will skyrocket, and you'll gain muscle faster than you've ever imagined possible, without changing a single thing other than the amount of weight on the bar. Furthermore, constantly changing your routine prevents you from properly evaluating your progress. How can you know whether you're getting stronger if you're doing different exercises and rep ranges every week or two? You can't, and that's dangerous. That leads to week after week of busting your ass without ever realizing that you aren't progressing at all. Myth and mistake number 5, lifting like an idiot. One of the most painful sights in gyms is the ego lifters spastically throwing around big weights with reckless abandon. I cringe not only out of pity, but also out of the anticipation of injuries that could strike at any moment. While this might sound like another shocking generality, it's nonetheless true. Most guys don't have a clue about proper form on many exercises, and this ignorance stunts their gains, causes unnecessary wear and tear on ligaments, tendons, and joints, and opens the door to debilitating injuries, especially as weights get heavy on the shoulders, elbows, knees, and lower back. Some of these guys just don't know any better, and some are more interested in looking cool than in making real gains. Others were just taught wrong by, yes, you guessed it, magazines, friends, or trainers. Well, you're not going to fall into this trap. You're going to do your exercises with perfect form, and while your weights may be lighter than Mr. Huff and Puff, he'll secretly be wondering why you're moving up so quickly in your lifts while he's been stuck for months. Myth and mistake number 6, lifting like a wussy. Building a great body is a pain in the butt. It takes considerable time, effort, discipline, and dedication. It doesn't come easy, and anyone who tells you otherwise is either ignorant or lying. Quite frankly, most guys just train like wussies. They don't want to face up to heavy weights and do the hard work. They seem to believe that just showing up and going through the motions is enough. Well, it's not. And their bodies, which change little over time,